Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
Ridley, the running back, takes the handoff through a hole on the 30-yard line at the 25, inside the 25, 20, 15 to the 10, to the 5, and he's in! Touchdown, rookie Stephen Ridley!
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, stop. Yeah, sure. You can take that and stick it, you know where.
Want to get you fired up?
I'm fired up. I don't have to be fired up. I mean, I don't need that ridiculous chant. Again, 1968, morons. That's all I'm going to tell you. 1968. Commiserating with John, during the little crossover here, once again, watching the Jets in Baltimore again today, a lot of it. And I got to tell you, these press conferences today were very revealing in a lot of ways. As I was telling John in the crossover, Tom Brady is upset. He is upset. And it wasn't just whoever it was who asked about Cromartie, somebody from the New York media, I understand, tried to do it twice. And it's, you're wasting your time. He's not going to get in a pissing match with that crap. Everybody knows that around here anyway. And that wasn't the reason why he kind of stormed off the podium earlier today. I'm sure it's part of it. I'm sure he would rather talk about football. I just think the man is completely focused on the task at hand like he usually is. But that game last year, that playoff loss, really, really is stuck in his craw. I understand it. He's never going to come out and say it. But I think all you have to do, if you've been around and seen this team and listened to these press conferences long enough, you have a general sense of what wins and what losses are more important than others. I mean, there's no such thing as an important loss, but you understand some losses weigh a lot more on this team than others, depending on what time of year it happens, who it is against, and that's the same thing with wins. And that's why I think a lot of times you'll see Belichick a lot happier about some wins than the average fan because of the environment they went to, what they had to overcome, maybe as far as injuries and other things that a lot of fans don't pick up on. It. That's why you could tell he was ecstatic with all the wins, but I'm saying particularly San Diego and going to Oakland last week and really taking it to him when it counted and doing a great job for the most part of holding McFadden to under 3 yards a carry. He had he had the one rush of 41 yards, but the rest of the day was 13 for 34 for a 2.6 average. So here's the deal. And to me, it's very simple. I'm not saying it's going to be 45-3, not by a long shot, because those games are far and few between in the NFL. I'm just saying I'm looking for a comfortable win by the Patriots. I'll give my scores tomorrow and all that stuff, but it will be double digits. The spread's already up to 9.5. I understand why. And once again, it pains me to admit it. But as I love hearing everybody's predictions and stuff like that and stuff. But, I'm watching, some video on ESPN and Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith both think the Patriots are going to win big. For a few different reasons, and most of it I agree with, like you can understand. This week, people will focus on Mayo, and they'll focus on, a lot of people will focus on the wrong thing. And this game is about emotions. And the Patriots, which they usually do, keep their emotions in check, unlike Richard Seymour, who came out and played stupid, especially in that one series with two, personal foul penalties. So the Patriots are usually very good in keeping their emotions in check. There have been times where they haven't. Certainly Brandon Merriweather a couple times when he was here. And there have been other times where they've committed some stupid penalties. But in games like this, I know Bill has drilled it into their heads all week long, and I'm sure all the team captains have too. Just, stay within yourself and do your job. Do what you got to – just do your job and don't do anything stupid. Don't let those bastards breathe, basically. Just get all over them, because this Jet team is reeling, And I think they are in serious trouble this week. Now, they may correct everything, and they still may make a playoff run eventually, although we'll see. But right now, the Patriots have this team right where they should love them. The Jets coming off two losses in a row and have to go on the road a third straight week. I know it's only a short trip, but still, that wears on NFL teams. It really does. And to watch, you know, Mark Sanchez, I mean, the game is so deceiving. I mean, if you just look at the score of the Jets and the Ravens the other night and didn't watch the game and didn't see any numbers, it's so deceiving to look at, okay? So deceiving. Because both quarterbacks stunk. And, you know, the defense, I mean, and the thing is, I mean, the defenses were okay, but the quarterbacks were so bad. And the turnovers were so bad. I mean, it wasn't like, to me, it wasn't like a whole heck of a lot of confusion. You know, it was more like stupid quarterbacking. Sanchez was terrible, and Flacco wasn't much better. I mean, I think Flacco was a much better quarterback overall than Sanchez. But in that game, it wasn't like, it was, to me, watching the game, it wasn't like all this confusing stuff was going on. It was just a lot of mismanaged and mishandled plays on both sides. And some bad special teams. We'll get into all of that. It's the Pete Shepherd Show until 6, and we're broadcasting live at our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook me as well, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Charlie Casserly joins me in the 5 o'clock hour from NFL Today on CBS and the NFL Network. But right now, let's head to the phones. First up today on the Pete Shepherd Show is Caesar in California. Hey, Caesar.
Hey, how you doing, Pete?
Good. What's going on, my friend?
Long time listener, first time caller. Love the show.
Hey, welcome.
I agree with everything, pretty much everything you say. Question.
Yeah.
I watched a press conference today, Tom Brady.
Yes.
Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Now, did you sense he was kind of pissed off walking up to the podium to begin with?
Well, I don't know if you just heard what I was talking about.
It's funny because I'm from California. I logged on late and I already knew the question I was going to ask, and you were on commercial. When you came back, it's the first thing you were talking about. So
I
happened to be calling about that when I didn't even know what you were talking about.
Yeah, so. I just think that loss last year, even though he says it doesn't bother him, bothers him a whole hell of a lot. I think it's stuck in his craw. I think when I've seen it happen before, when he is that serious and that focused and that pissed off, and he certainly was, the Cromartie questions didn't help, but I don't think that really mattered all that much in the whole. I just think he wants to get on the field so badly and just shove it right down their throats.
I don't know who asked the question, but did you hear his answer about the fans, how he's not joking anymore?
Yeah.
What do you think he meant by that?
Well, that's because, you know, he made the funny comment he made a couple of weeks ago about the fans getting lubed up, you know?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Who cares? I mean, I could care less about that crap, you know?
Right.
But there's some national media people, organizational groups that went all ballistic about it. Oh, he's encouraging people to drink and all that crap that means nothing.
Right.
So, I mean, he's just not going to joke around. I mean, that's what he meant by it. Yeah. I mean,
he's been pissed off for a few years now about the fans just not getting loud enough.
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't even that. It was about, you know, he made an offhanded comment about, you know, well, fans will have plenty of time to get lubed up because
right.
It's a 4 o'clock game. He said a couple weeks ago, I think it was before the San Diego game, and everybody, it's not everybody. I mean,
right.
a small percentage made a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
And it meant nothing. But I mean, that stuff is so ridiculous.
Funny. I was expecting like a 15-20 minute press conference, and he just stormed off.
Yeah, and you know, maybe he says more tomorrow. But I just think he wants to win this game very badly. I mean, he wants to win every game badly, but I think this one, he wants to prove that last year was a fluke.
Right.
And I think he's extremely focused, and now with the way they're running the ball, and again, this is going to be a great time for the Patriots to be able to run the ball again against this Jet team. The balance that they have, I don't care if Revis is on Welker, I don't care what little trickery or what defensive scheme the Jets come up with, they cannot stop the Patriots. They cannot. not going to happen. It's not going to happen this week anyway. Not this week. This is a bad matchup for the Jets at this particular time in their schedule. So we shall see.
Well, one more quick point. Yeah. I live 15 minutes from Oakland, so I went to the game on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Let me ask you something.
What did you?
In the corner, the end zone of the black hole. And I got to say, those Oakland Raider fans, they're loud and they swear and, you know, they give their opinion, but, you know, we're wearing our Patriots stuff and they were okay.
Really?
They were
okay. So you wore Patriots,
I wore a hat, you know.
Yeah. Nobody said anything to you?
No, you talk the banter back and forth, but everyone was cool, but.
I heard, I know when I was reading about Bob Kraft being on the field before the game, and apparently all the Raider fans are very nice to him, leaning over, asking for autographs and everything like that, and that's dangerous. Mr. Kraft walking around the Oakland Alameda Coliseum.
It was cool, but you know what, I made a Facebook comment after the game. I said, as awesome as the Patriots win was, is just watching the faces of the dejected Raider fans.
Yeah, what were the conversations like on the way out? I mean, I must overhear them.
It's so funny because when you're going in, there's 60,000 people going in, they're all screaming their Raiders, Raiders, and then when you're leaving, everyone's, they can't even walk straight, and they're not saying nothing.
Well, of course, and they better get ready for another 500 season. I mean, I think Hugh Jackson has them headed in the right direction, but, like I say, I feel the same way about Buffalo. See, I think Detroit's good. I think Buffalo and the Raiders are going to be 500 at best. I just think they're not going anywhere.
And I will say, the beginning of that game, obviously you watched the game, but when the Patriots first got the ball, they were pinned back.
Yeah.
Right at the black hole, right where they were sitting.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, if it wasn't for those personal foul calls, I think in my opinion, that changed the momentum of the game. The Raiders had the momentum from, even though they scored a field goal, they had the momentum in the beginning of the game.
Well, a little bit, but you expect that. You expect the home team to come out fine, but, I understand what you're saying about Richard, and Seymour's stupid penalties, but I just think talent, that was in the first like 7 or 8 minutes, and I'm telling you, the cream rises to the top, and the Patriots were. I thought they'd win by double digits. They did. They didn't score as many points as I thought they would, but the Raiders didn't score as many points as I thought they would either. So,
The Raiders fans were feeding off the Tuck rule from 10 years ago. All the bad calls.
Well, of course. I mean, that's what they do. I mean,
And the last point, I'll let you go because I know you get other calls and emails, but. Man, Gronkowski, when you're up close and you see him,
beast.
The guy is a beast.
He is.
Powers over everybody.
He is.
He is the biggest dude. All right, man, Pete, it was nice talking to you.
You too, my friend. Call back soon.
All right, talk to you soon, Pete.
Take care. Let's go to stay with the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Check in with one of our regulars, Carl's in Montreal. Hello, Carl.
Hey, Pete, this is the Jets. Jets week. It's like rivalry week in college football almost, it's become.
Yeah, it certainly is.
There was a time when the first game I'd look at would be the Colts game on the schedule, and now it's come to the point where it's the Jets. And I know you've talked about it, we could have won that playoff. Well, the playoff game could have been different if Crumpler didn't drop that pass.
But
for me, that game turned on the fake punt by Patrick Chung, because we were only down 7-3 at the time. The ball was at midfield.
Yeah,
the defense was playing well.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have punted the ball maybe to inside the 20. We were only down 7-3. We were starting the second half with the ball. That fake punt, the defense, it was a couple of plays after that to Holmes, I believe, or whatever, and before you know it, it was 14-3, and then we never recovered.
That's a good point. And that's a great point, because I usually remember crap like that, and I always forget about that play, because I got so disgusted early with Crumpler dropping the ball that after that, I just thought about nothing. But you're absolutely right. So it's a great point.
And you know what? Belichick never blamed that. He took the blame, and apparently Chung made that decision on his own, so it shows you that Belichick, always thinks of the team before himself.
Yeah, usually that's the case. He very rarely throws an individual under the bus. I mean, if at all, I don't think I've ever heard him say if somebody, if say Gostkowski had missed like 4 field goals, he'd say, "Well, we have to do better in all 3 phases of the game." He's not going to say Gostkowski sucks or this person sucks or that person. He's always about. And if they lose a game, they have to do better as a team. It's not about any one individual.
And coaching as well. Now, getting to this week, from what I've seen, I actually, like an idiot, I had the Jets last week as well. even on a teaser at like plus 10.5, and that still wasn't good enough. And
I didn't.
I've watched their games this year, except for the Raider game.
Yeah.
And they're not as good as they were last year. I don't know how big it is losing Brian Thomas, but...
Well, I think it's big. I mean, look, the running game is nowhere near what it was last. I mean, I know Mangold, but there's a difference right there. I mean, Baxter was so bad on Sunday, and so bad for them on Sunday. Then they had to put Slauson in the left guard for a series because Baxter couldn't handle the football. And then you got, you know, Dan Conley steps right in at center for the Patriots and does a great job. I mean, that's a big difference. And the Jets are just, I said at the beginning of the season before it started, I said, games aren't won on paper, but on paper, the Patriots have gotten better and the Jets, in my opinion, have gotten worse. And so far, that's the way it is. I think the Jets are in big trouble here.
And we got Sean Ellis, and you got to remember that he played a great game in the playoffs,
as well as
he's got to have insight on what Rex Ryan likes to do and how he wants to attack Brady. And so I think that's a huge plus as well. Now, one thing, Kevin Fox is supposed to be back after week 6. Week 7, we have a bye. Week 8, we're at the Steelers.
Yep.
With Woodhead getting hurt and with Ridley just looking like a bullet out of the backfield, I'm predicting that we're not going to see much more of Danny Woodhead.
I don't know about that. You might very well see Kevin Falk get placed on IR. I mean,
really?
Yeah, I think that's possible. I mean, I wouldn't discount Danny Woodhead. I don't want to see, Danny Woodhead has earned a spot in this team. And I agree with you about Ridley and, you know, you're going to see a lot more of him this week, especially I'm not sure Danny's going to be able to play, this weekend, but, you know, all three of those backs right now, I mean, there are three guys. I mean, I just go by who's on the team now. And not to say that Kevin Fox, one of my favorite players of all time on this team. And I never thought I would have said that back in 2001, or 2000, when I first saw him as a rookie from LSU fumble all those times. But he is one of the heart and souls of the football team. And you could see him on the sideline on Sunday, even in street clothes, cheering the team on and all that stuff. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. My gut feeling is that he's not coming back this year. But
okay,
we'll see.
Yeah, that's. You work there, so you know more than I do.
Well, I mean, not really. I mean, I don't think anybody really will. You know, we'll know more in a couple of weeks. So I think it'll be clear in a couple of weeks, and we also have to see what happens with Danny. And you know, as usual in these situations, they have a way of working themselves out. Something usually happens.
Yeah. Now, just one last thing on the defense. There was some improvements. They were better against the run. There was that one play, obviously not on the last drive there, where Sergio Brown just totally whiffed on that ball.
Yep, he did. Disappointing. Absolutely
Molden
disappointing.
Molden had good coverage. He stuck his hand up, but Brown didn't even hit the guy. I mean, that was pathetic.
It was, and it was.
But all in all, the defense was better. Actually, Molden looked like he had pretty good coverage whenever he was in the game. And I actually think that Kyle Arrington is doing a better job than Lee Bodden. Personally, I know they're paying Bodden the big contract. But you know what? Kyle Arrington stepped in and does a pretty good job. He supports the run pretty well when he tackles, and he's picked off a ball this year. So
two he's got. Yeah, two in the Buffalo game.
We do have some depth at quarterback.
Well, don't forget.
Well.
They got to play. They got to play better. I thought McCourty played better, but I mean, of course Lee didn't play on Sunday, so we don't know how he would have done. But overall, what they did was. They focused on McFadden and did a great job with him. He had one run for 41 yards and the rest of it was 34 yards at a 2.6 clip over 13 carries. So that's what they wanted to do, was stop him, and they did a great job. They wanted to let Campbell try to beat him. He couldn't. I don't care what yards you put up, he couldn't do it. You know, he couldn't make the plays when it counted. So again, the Patriots take away the other team's best weapon, as they did with San Diego and Gates, as they did with the Raiders and McFadden. I don't know who the best weapon is on the Jets because I don't think they have any. Their worst weapon right now is Sanchez. So you can talk about the Patriots defense from now until hell freezes over. The Jets are in big, big trouble this Sunday. Mayo or no Mayo, Jets are in trouble.
Definitely. And their receiving core is not what it was. Last year they had a better receiving core. The one guy that seems to burn the Patriots with big plays is Santonio Holmes. So
yep.
We got to lock down on him. I think maybe Patrick Chung will... get some spying on him, or Belichick will have it figured out. Patriots will roll, I say, 34-17.
Sounds good.
See you next week, Pete.
All right, Carl. Take care. Thanks for the call, as always. And, again, the Jets running game just isn't what it was. Still early, we know. Only, small sampling in early on, but early, It's just they just Jets don't look that good. You know, it's not to say that problems can't be corrected. But right now, they have issues. I mean, like I've said it, every team has issues. Let me give, before we take a quick break here, went through some numbers again. And, you know, I'm so sick and, you know, the people labeling with the defense. And you hear it again. I mean, I can't tell you how many. If I hear giving up 500 yards a game, net yards one more time, it just makes me want to puke, okay? I care about the bottom line, which is points allowed. All right, that's real. I don't care about net yards on the whole. On the whole, I don't care about it. I can't stress it enough. So the Patriots have given up 98 points this year. Here's who I consider to be. Now, I consider the top five teams right now to be the Patriots, Tennessee. Now, this is not in any order. This is just – and I picked Tennessee because they beat Baltimore. Patriots, and I'm talking right now. Patriots, Tennessee, Green Bay, Detroit, and New Orleans. Again, I'm not. That's not in any order. I'm just picking teams. The Patriots have given up 98 points. Green Bay has given up 97 points. New Orleans has given up 98 points. Detroit has given up 76 points. Okay? And Tennessee, 56. Do people really think Tennessee is better than the Patriots? Do you think Detroit, even though they've looked, you know, they look good and they've come from behind, but do you think at the end of the year, Detroit's going to be better than the Patriots? How about some other teams? Buffalo, 96 points, two less than the Patriots. The Jets, the mighty Jets, 95 points, three less than the Patriots. Let's settle down with all this defensive BS, please. A lot of it. It is so overhyped so much. I keep saying, you got to start changing your way of thinking with defenses. The days are done. With 2,000 Ravens. The days are done of the 85 Bears. The days are done from what the NFL was 10 years ago. You're going to have to adjust your thinking, everybody. Because if you think teams like that have let up listen to these teams. Giants, 87 points. Washington, 63. San Diego, 85. Houston, 70. Chicago, 98 points. Tampa Bay, 77. You think any of those teams are better than the Patriots? Are gonna be? I seriously doubt it. Now, Baltimore's obviously giving up 57 points. Statistically, their defense looks the best. But those numbers can get skewed a little bit because Sanchez sucked so bad last week. I'm not saying Baltimore doesn't have a very good defense. Obviously, they do. Not taking anything away from them. But my God, you know, you get handed points and pick sixes. I mean, it wasn't like watching the game again, it wasn't like it was all these confusing, disguising things. Sanchez just didn't play well. Just like Romo against Detroit. You think Detroit came up with some super-duper, you know, scheme package all of a sudden when they were down by 21? No, it wasn't that. Romo sucked. He gave that – those were the three interceptions he threw were pathetic. I spent, the third one was gross to watch that. I mean, there are certain times I'm certainly, you know, you can see confusing defense and stuff. And I hate to, you got to give the Jets credit last year. Second half of the game, for the most part. That, you know, that's where you can say, you know, confusion happened, this, that. They outguessed the Patriots, outcoach, whatever phrase you want to use. I can understand that. But don't sit here and tell me, like the Detroit Lions, because they've given up 76 points, are a better team than the Patriots because they came three touchdowns down in Dallas. They got that win because Romo was terrible. They were handed that game. The Jets handed that game away to the Raiders 2 weeks ago. And they gave up a crap load of rushing yards to McFadden that the Patriots didn't give up half of that total. So I'm just saying, it's not as bad as what everybody's making it out to be. Get off the damn net yardage numbers. They don't mean crap for the most part. They really don't. 95 or 98 yards of garbage yards last week. The Patriots gave up at the end of that drive to the Raiders. Now, granted, it's annoying as hell. I hate it. I think it's disgusting when it happens that way. Believe me. And even if they didn't give up that, it would have still been close to 400 yards, so people would still, some national people would still be bitching. But I don't hear everybody, when everybody's putting this hard-hitting analysis towards the Patriots' defense, I never hear it brought up for all these other teams. Why aren't they talking about New Orleans that giving up the same amount of points as the Patriots? Why aren't they talking about the Packers giving up one less point than the Patriots, okay? Now, the Packers have scored, I think, 12 more points than the Patriots on offense. Buffalo's giving up two less points than the Patriots. Chicago's giving up as many points as the Patriots. Why isn't anybody talking about these teams? The Jets have given up three less points than the Patriots. Well, I mean, that's, and I have no problem with all of that stuff because that's the way the league is. You think I give a crap because Green Bay's only given up one less point than the Patriots? You think I think Green Bay is not a great football team? They're a great football team. And their defense is better than what projected numbers look like. And I believe that about the Patriots. Go watch some of these other teams play consistently. And watch the amount of yards given up. Look at team, the Dream Idiots in Philadelphia. What freaking defense are they showing? You know? What kind of team is that? Oh, by the way, Michael Vick today says the Dream Team is, talk is over. He doesn't want to talk about the Dream Team anymore. No more Dream Team talk in Philadelphia. Done with that. Vince Young, you idiot. Don't tell Vince Young that, though. Hey, Vince, I take it back, and I want you to have a freaking nervous breakdown, okay? And, you know, get carted away in a straitjacket. So I take it, I got to be careful. I want Vince Young to have another nervous breakdown because somebody booed him. But that's why you don't come up with stupid, dumb-ass little phrases like that when you haven't even played a down yet in a season. Dream team my ass. I tell you, the Dream Team is right here. And the other one's in Green Bay. And a close another one is in New Orleans. I'm still picking New Orleans in the Super Bowl, by the way. But, you know, I'm just asking people, just, you know, stop listening to national media and some local people about net yardage numbers. Okay? Points allowed, they're like right in the middle of the pack. And all these other supposed teams that have all these other great defenses. I mean, if anybody thinks Baltimore is going to win games, a lot of games, by the way they played on Sunday night, you better think again. They sucked too Sunday night. The Jets sucked more. That was the suck bowl on Sunday night. You can't win football games playing like that on offense. And it's not as simple as, oh, the defenses were just made it confusing and they did all these turnovers. No. The offense was so bad. So bad. They couldn't run the ball. Forget running and throwing. Running and throwing. They couldn't snap the ball, the Jets. They couldn't get the exchange right. Think about what would have happened here if Conley had stepped in and had a Baxter-type night. Instead, he comes in 2 weeks ago flawless. And he was pretty much flawless on Sunday. He got beat once on one play. But for the most part, that's why the Patriots are so well coached. And people don't, you know, you dismiss, a lot of people dismiss little things like Conley coming in for Copen, like Hochstein did a few years ago. Same scenario. They didn't miss a beat. That is hard to do. That's hard for a backup center to come in and not miss a beat. And just look at the Jets if you don't believe me. All right, we're going to take a quick break. It's the Pete Shepard Show, broadcasting live at our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email me at webradiopatriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And also Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. When I come back, more of your emails. Charlie Cashley, remember, from NFL and CBS, an NFL network analyst, will join me in the 5 o'clock hour. Be great to get his take on this game and a whole lot of other issues I want to bring up around the NFL. He's very well connected. And then I'll have the injury report as well in just a couple of minutes. We come back here on the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pats interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40.
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10. Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
You're frightening a seamstress.
Oh, that tie back is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEAT or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Hello, kids, and welcome back. It's Pete Shepherd Show here until 6 o'clock. We're doing it live at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. I'm going to get to those right now. And also Facebook me at Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. And call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Going to give you the injury report first, take some emails, and then want to play Tom Brady for you in case you missed it. It was a very short, not-so-sweet press conference today. But you'll understand why I'm saying what I'm saying when you hear him. He was in no mood to joke around or screw around or whatever. First of all, Lucas on Facebook says Rex Ryan is a moron. Well, I don't know about that. I think don't misunderstand me, because I think Rex Ryan is good for the NFL.
Really beautiful feet.
Exactly. Thank you. And you know, it would be boring if everybody was all the same. Okay, I mean, we know that. I just think, you know, he's really toning it down now. They've lost two in a row. In my opinion, they're about to lose three in a row. They still haven't won anything that's worth anything that anybody's going to remember in 25 years. And, you know, this week, I'm surprised so far he's toned it down a lot. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And if they lose three in a row, and you always learn, and I say this every year about every team, and this is why I think we've been blessed around this whole region for the most part, between Belichick and Terry Francona, who got screwed, you know, Doc Rivers and Claude Julien. You learn more about your team when you're going through adversity than you do when things are going great. I'm sure, I know most of you understand that. And certainly we've seen what this Patriots team has done in the past when the crap hits the fan. They start destroying teams. I think the Red Sox have been resilient for a lot, you know, until this last month of September, for the most part, under Terry. A great job. That's a word that people have always associated with Red Sox. Resilient. Certainly can't say enough about what Claude did last year and what he was going through. People wanted to fire him halfway through the Montreal series. You know, and people who are not around the team all the time and just throwing out names and that, but he did a great job. And Doc certainly as well with the Celtics. You know, they've gone through their ups and downs, too. I think we've been really blessed around this area to have four, you know, good character guys and great upper management for the most part. Again, disgusted with how the Red Sox have handled this whole thing. Disgusted. But that's for another show, another time, another place, another dimension. Right now, it's all about the Patriots. Injury report real quick, then I'll get to the emails, and then Brady. People who did not participate today at all for the Patriots: Julian Edelman, Haynesworth, Aaron Hernandez, Gerard Mayo, Sebastian Vollmer, Danny Woodhead, and Mike Wright. Limited today for the Patriots: Kyle Arrington, Josh Barrett, Lee Bodden, Patrick Chung, Rozai Dowling, Sean Ellis, Gary Guyton, and Kyle Love. For the Jets today, Logan Payne and Brian Thomas, that you know is out. Limited today, or did not practice today, Plaxico Burress, Garrett McIntyre, and Calvin Pace. Limited was Nick Mangold and Muhammad Wilkerson. Everybody else was full. So, I mean, the Jets have their slight issues as well. They're banged up, too. They better pray like hell Mangold somehow can play on Sunday, or they're really going to be in trouble. They're in trouble already, but if he doesn't play, they're going to be obviously going to be in more trouble. JC says, I agree with the Pats crushing the Jets this week. Some people don't think Bill is human if they don't think he's pissed. Just because he doesn't talk to the media doesn't mean he's not a human and has feelings. Ridley and law firm over 100 this week. Jeff from Fall River. Jeff, I absolutely agree with you. And, that's one thing we always know about that. They're never going to come out and say how angry they are about their emotions to the public. But you gotta believe that that loss last year is stuck in their craw. And the Patriots in revenge games, what I like to call revenge games, are pretty good. Let's see. Gene says in Daytona, hey, Pete and Kevin, before the season I said the Jets would not make the playoffs and the Bills would, and seems to be playing out that way. The Pats and Bills will win this week. I don't know. The Bills have a tough one at home against Houston. I'm not so sure about that, but I'll wait until tomorrow to give you my picks. I think Rex is making a big mistake disrespecting Joe Namath. As much as I am a Patriot fan, I loved Joe Namath. For Rex to ignore Joe, no matter what people think of him now, it was Joe that made the AFC legitimate, and the reason the NFL is what it is today. Joe is entitled to his opinions, and I believe Joe should be allowed, not allow them, and not telling him to shut up. All Joe is saying you do not throw your teammates under the bus in the media. The Jets have no character or integrity now. All Joe is telling them is who they were, where, and where they should be again. What he sees is a joke in the team, and he loves, and it's killing him. It's killing him. Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. I also think there's some truth to what Rex Ryan said, where he's not in the locker room every day and all that stuff. I do think there's some.
I want to kiss you.
Exactly.
Thanks, Joe. Okay, yeah! That's a huge compliment. Yeah,
you think Susie ever wakes up in the middle of the night from in a cold sweat? Just go, Joe! It's Joe!
I have an even better, poor Susie.
I think she is so awesome.
And you know what?
She's
one of the most delightful people.
I love just, there's just something about her pleasant. I'm glad they're giving her a more expanded role on Countdown,
exactly.
On ESPN.
So,
And it's not just because, you know, she's cute and all that crap. I think she knows her stuff. I think she's very talented. And she just makes it, to me, comfortable to watch a show like that.
Except in moments like this.
Rex Ryan has refused to answer uncomfortable questions about videos posted on Deadspin.com that suggest he and his wife are linked to foot fetish porn.
How about that, Pete Shepard? That's a little used drop that nobody knows about. I was actually, last year, when that came out, I was doing a show here, watching NFL live or whatever, and I heard it, like, back here, and I was like, I have to get that. Like, I must get that.
Yeah, because they broke the story first.
Yeah, and I felt, and it was one of those things where it's just, she was in the wrong spot at the wrong time, and she must have been looking at the prompter and been like, you have got to be kidding me.
No. But, hey, I mean, look, can you imagine what it would have been like if that was Belichick or somebody like that? Hey, it could have been worse, Kev. It could have been like Al Davis. It could have been worse. Chad says, Jets are 25th best overall offense and last overall running game. 71 rushing yards per game for a guy that scans a gangrene ground and pound. Third down conversions, 19 of 55. Offense allowed 11 sacks so far. Pete, what are your thoughts on Theismann's words about McNabb? Kevin, can you hear the I guarantee a Super Bowl win by Ryan, please?
I don't have that one.
Well, Theismann's words of McNabb, and I didn't read the whole story, but basically he said, let me go back and read him before I comment because I'm sure it's there. I just didn't come across it. I like to read a lot of times that gossip stuff, that kind of stuff. I don't usually pay attention to. I did pay attention to Michael Vick today, though, saying the Dream Team is, no, he doesn't want to hear about that anymore. All right. Here's a couple of stats, not for you, but for those alienated goobers who watch too much TV. Patriots are number one offense with 507 yards per game. Saints are second. Green Bay fifth with 429. Patriots number one on most passing yards per game. Green Bay's fifth again. By the way, Charles Davis from NFL Network says Rodgers is a better quarterback than Brady. Send this guy to court. The Bungles are currently ranked best overall defense, in the NFL. That's right. The Bungles. Does anybody think Cincinnati's going anywhere anytime soon? And I have no problem about Rodgers. Yes, you can say right now, because of the four interceptions, that Rodgers is having a better year. But look, they're both great quarterbacks. I'm not going to get a pissing match about great quarterbacks in 2011 because it was basically useless. Now, I don't think, and I've said this before, the difference to me is when the Patriots had Rishay Caldwell as the number one wide receiver, basically in 2006 and get all the way to the AFC Championship, I'm not sure that Peyton Manning have had the same kind of personnel, would have been able to do it. Not saying impossible, but that's to me is a little bit of the difference. You know, I do think Brady at times in his career has done a lot more with less than Peyton Manning. That's all. But they're both great quarterbacks, and Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback as well. Brett Favre continues to be an idiot with his stupid, ridiculous remarks. And that's why if you're a Packer fan, and that's why Brett Favre to me is always going to be the most overrated superstar of all time. Might be the most overrated Hall of Famer of all time. You're talking about a net yardage freak. There you have it. But never has a superstar, quote-unquote superstar quarterback, done less with more than Brett Favre over his career. And as I said, after they lost to Denver in the Super Bowl, you look at the playoff numbers, and they are atrocious for the most part. But, again, that's another story for another time. But I was disappointed once again in Brett Favre. And instead of just saying Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, he tries to, you know, make excuses. I think he made a fool out of himself once again. If you haven't read them, go back. And they're out there. It's just awful. What is wrong with Edelman? I heard he's walking in a boot. Well, he's listed here as ankle problem. So I wasn't in the locker room today, but there it is. So he did not practice. He did not practice today. Julian Edelman, one of several Patriots who did not practice today. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Again, Charlie Casserly will join me in the 5 o'clock hour. Lots to talk about in the NFL, and I'd love to get Charlie's thoughts on a few issues. Again, a couple of things I've talked about, Michael Vick, the Dream Team crap, and How desperate are the Miami Dolphins kids this week? Guess where the Dolphins are working out at quarterback? Trent Edwards and Brody Coyle and possibly Jake Delhomme. Oh, my God. And remember I said at the beginning of the season, I said, and I remember talking to the writer who escapes my mind from Miami that I had on, and I said, you know, I think it's a good, I mean, good chance the Dolphins are going to start off 0-4, maybe 0-5. So if that's the case, you think Sperano's going to get fired? And I think he said he didn't think it would happen that soon, but, you know, I just, it's unbelievable. The Dolphins are, you know, could very easily be 0-5 after this week. And they have, I'm going through the schedule here. I know they have a tough game this week, don't they? Are they off this week? Are they in a bye week? They're in a bye week, right? They're in a bye week this week. It starts. See, I think, well, Houston's got, Buffalo's got Philadelphia this week. Houston is hosting Oakland. I think, this will be another good test for the Bills. See what happens this week at home against Philadelphia, a team that is absolutely desperate for a win. I can tell you, I lean towards Philadelphia in that game. I just don't think the Bills are that good. I'm not sold on them. I picked Detroit to make the playoffs, so I got to stick with them. To say I'm surprised that they're 4-0, to tell you I'm not surprised, I'd be lying. I picked Dallas last week because I thought that was, you know, the real test for Detroit was going into that hostile environment and trying to win. And they were getting clobbered until Tony Romo took another stupid pill and decided to give another game away. Horrible, horrible throws. I mean, you give Detroit credit for capitalizing on them and not giving up, but my God, I mean, can you get handed a game any easier than that? You know, except for the Jets, maybe. But again, I'll do all my picks on Thursday in the second hour. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. This is from Emmanuel, or Manny from Miami. Hey, Pete, I wanted to thank you and my girl for making me a Patriots fan. I am a long, sad Eagles for 23 years. My girl finally convinced me to be a Pat fan and root for the Patriots. Well, here I am, another Pat fan on board. Listen to your show every time. Thanks, Miami. Manny from Miami. Hey, thanks, Manny. Hey, welcome. We'll take you on the Patriots bandwagon. There's plenty of room. I don't know, Manny, if you grew up in Miami. I'm wondering why you're not a Dolphin fan. I always wonder why certain people in certain regions of the country are not fans of the teams that they grew up watching, as bad as some of them have been. You know, I mean, I understand around here why a lot of people are Giants fans. It's a generational thing because for many years, the Giants were the team that was on TV here. The Patriots weren't on TV at all. They weren't even here until 1960. So and back before that, it was the Giants. Those were the games they showed. You know, the Dallas thing, I mean, Dallas was always on TV, and I mean, I was a big-time Dallas fan after the Patriots during the Roger Staubach years, in Danny White years. I was a big Tom Landry guy, you know, and they had certainly had their ups and downs. There were a lot of championship games, and you know what's funny? And this just popped into my head, as things usually do. You know, people always remember, you know, the catch from Dwight Clark. And if I'm not mistaken, and I'll never forget it, that, you know, we all remember that championship game. Those of you who don't, I mean, one of the greatest games ever played, the 82 championship. But people forget that that was not like a game, it was a game-winning drive, but it didn't end the game. There was like a minute and like 50 seconds left in that game, if I remember correctly. And I have to go back and look up the play. And somebody correct me out there if I'm wrong, but I distinctly remember Dallas driving the ball down the field. And they got to midfield. And I think Tony Dorsett fumbled on the 50. And back then, Raphael Septien, they had a great field goal kicker. You know, they had a chance. I remember they had a chance. People always think the game, that was Montana to Clark and the game ended. It wasn't that way. You know, Dallas actually got to midfield, I believe, and then Dorsett, I believe, fumbled the ball. But some of you might remember that. I just know it wasn't. There was more to that game than people realize. Manny says, "Well, Pete, my dad is from Philly, and Miami Dolphins suck." So, okay, well, that's what I'm saying. Usually, if you root for another team in a region, it's because it's passed down from generation to generation. Certainly. Let's see. I think the Jets' biggest weapons this week is going to be LT catching passes out of the backfield. Patriots simply can't defend the running back catching out of the backfield. I looked up the stats for the first four games, and running backs out of the backfield are easily averaging 9 yards a catch. Well, again, they've had problems a couple of times with that. I agree with you. But also, look at some of those passes when they were caught, at what point in the game, and how far ahead were the Patriots in some of those catches. Trust me when I tell you this. If that's going to be the Jets' secret weapon this week, is to rely on LaDainian Tomlinson catching passes out of the backfield, then I don't know if they're going to score at all. Patriots defense, no Patriots. They got to do better. Sanchez has to be just about flawless for them to be in this game. Flawless. And I don't see that happening. He hasn't been flawless all year. Not by a long shot. Even in the Jacksonville game, he was not very good in that game. Jacksonville was terrible in that game. Sanchez was okay. He made some okay throws in the Raider game. He made some lousy throws in that game. And, you know, the Dallas game as well was handed to them by Romo. Terrible. No excuse for Dallas losing that game against the Jets. Again, Charlie Cashley will join me coming up in just a few minutes. Going to take a quick break. You can email me on the web radio at patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. It's the Pete Shepard Show here until 6. Coming up, as I said, NFL Today on CBS and NFL Network analyst Charlie Cashley on the Pete Shepard Show right here on patriots.com.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pat's interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime.
He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepard.
And And welcome back to the second hour of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. We're here until 6. We're going to connect with Charlie Cashley in just a little bit here from NFL on CBS and NFL Network. Lots of stuff to talk to him about. Not just the, and I know a lot of people this week seem to think that this game doesn't have all the emotion. Maybe it's because the Jets have sucked the last 2 weeks and nothing really over the top has been said by anybody except, you know, Cromartie and it brought up the comments from last year and all that stuff. But I think a lot of people around here kind of just dismiss that. But there's been no needling, if you will, by the Jets or anybody else there. And I don't know how they could, having played the way they did the last couple of weeks. But I tend to think that this, you know, we're not feeling the same. I'm not feeling it out there, the passion and the anger yet. maybe anger is the wrong word, but the passion like we were, you know, last year. Of course, that last year when they met in Foxborough, that meant the, for the division, what both were they, 7-1 or whatever it was. Everybody was, Patriots were what, 7-2? Jets were 7, whatever it was. It was for the division last year when they met, at the time. And the Patriots ended up winning, obviously, a big score of 45-3. I do not expect 45-3. Like I said, I just think it's going to be a comfortable win. There's a lot of reasons. And it's going to be interesting to see, it is going to be interesting to see. The matchup I am looking forward to is Darrelle Revis on anybody. Because if they do put him on Welker, which is, would be unlike a lot of other teams to do that. But I think Rex Ryan is going to try to come up with something. And after that, you know, the Patriots, I'm sure, are well aware of what Rex Ryan is capable of doing. All right, joining us right now on the Ace Ticket Hotline is Charlie Cashley of NFL on CBS and NFL Network. Charlie, welcome to the Pete Shepherd Show. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes today. How are you, sir?
Oh, no, hey, great to be with you guys.
What do you, let's, first of all, there's a lot of issues I want to talk about, not a lot, a few in the NFL, but I want to get right to this, this Patriot Jet game coming up this weekend. I was just talking about, to my producer and some of the fans out there and everything, not feeling the same kind of passion this week as we did, like back in week 10 last year when the Jets came here, probably because, you know, a lot less is on the line right now, and the Jets have not played well at all, I think, for most of the season, to be honest with you. But are you feeling the same thing? You getting that feeling in New York?
Well, I think a lot of it is tempered by the Jets showing on Sunday night. Now, this is outside. Okay, we're not going in the buildings now.
Yes.
You know, obviously the Jets got handled Sunday night, physically got handled Sunday night. Not very pretty there, the way the Baltimore defense handled. However, I don't think there's any question in New England, that they have not forgotten that game. I think that, there'll be tremendous passion and intensity from the Patriots, and I think you're going to get a great effort out of the Jets. I think they were embarrassed on Sunday night. I think that they're going to give it everything they have. So I think, both teams internally, you're going to see that same passion that you saw, whether it's last year in any one of those three games. I think you're going to see that on Sunday.
Well, my thing with the Jets is they are not talented enough to overcome mediocre to bad play by their quarterback. They're just not. I thought they were worse on paper this year than they were last year at the start of the season. I stand by it. I think they were handed a game by the Dallas Cowboys by Tony Romo, but he's used to that now. But I'm wondering, from a defensive standpoint for the Jets, what Rex Ryan is going to try to come up with to stop Wes Welker. Do you think he's going to try to put Revis on him?
Well, I'll tell you what, watching the Patriots, the way they move Wes Welker around, you know, that will be a challenge. But clearly, when you go play the Patriots, you've got to have a plan for Wes Welker. And I think what they tried to do last year at the end of the year is they played man outside and zone inside, and banged Welker around as he ran his crossing routes and did that in the playoff game and, you know, had some success, making Brady hold the ball, and they were able to get some pressure because of that. New England is obviously a smart team. Brady's a smart quarterback. I mean, I'm sure they'll have a plan, for that. But, you know, that's always the option. Do you go put, you know, Revis on him? And see how he does against them. And, you know, Revis would probably do pretty well against them. But New England moves him around a lot, so you're not going to get a clear shot at him coming off the line.
What do the Jets have to do besides get in sync with the center, especially if Mangold can't play again, and just get the snaps right? That's first and foremost. But they look completely out of sync, Charlie, the last couple of weeks. And I wasn't really impressed with them. I watched the Jacksonville game as well, even though the score was really lopsided. I think that game was a lot closer than people realize. The Dallas game was, you know, it was okay for them, but they clearly should have lost that game. What's happened to the Jets' offense this year?
Well, it starts with the offensive line. The offensive line is not as good as it was a year ago. Clearly, when Mangold's out of there, they're not as good at that position. But the right tackle position, you know, I think they miss Woody, and I think that's hurt them on that side of the ball there. So the offensive line is not as good. Therefore, they don't look as good running the ball or throwing the ball, and I think they miss Edwards. Edwards is a better player than Plaxico Burress. Now, Edwards wanted more money than the Jets were willing to pay. Jets had to make a decision. They signed Burress. Edwards gave him a better threat than Burress did. So you're not as good in the offensive line, which sets a tempo for everything they do, and you're not as good outside trading Burress for Edwards.
Just staying on Plaxico for a second, because a couple of stories have come out the last 24 hours or so, and maybe you're so connected with the league and everything, and we find out that the Patriots were indeed looking at Plaxico Burress and decided to go with Chad Ochocinco over him. Did you know anything about that before the season started?
No, I didn't. What I understood, though, is when Burress signed, he did not have any other offer on the table except the Jets' offer. And I don't think, and again, I don't know. I don't know the Patriots would have paid him $3 million guaranteed. When you watch Ochocinco, when you watch Burress, Ochocinco probably has a little more life in his legs when you're watching the two of them. Maybe gives you a little more flexibility on routes. I know he's had trouble hanging on to the ball. At the end of the day, I don't think either one is a guy that the defense is going to worry about.
You see a lot of these games, or all the games, and you know, when with the Red Zone Channel now, I think a lot of fans out there, get to see a lot of different teams. But it is amazing to me, not shocking, because I see it. You saw the trend. I've seen it the last two or three years in college developing how well these offenses are in sync, and how defenses, Charlie, they just can't catch up with them. And to me, I know the Patriots get a bad rap. I know Green Bay's kind of gotten a bad rap in New Orleans, you know, the first quarter of the season, but. To me, I am not a big net yardage guy. I say it all the time. I think it's one of the most useless stats in all of football is net yardage. I basically just go by points allowed in the red zone numbers. But, you know, when you see Green Bay is only allowed one less point than the Patriots. New Orleans has allowed exactly the same points as the Patriots. The Jets have allowed only three fewer. Is it just the way sports is cyclical right now that, right, it is just offense. It's not so much a knock on the defense, Charlie, but these offenses are just superior right now.
Well, they are. And if people have gone to more shotgun, more wide open, throwing the ball, spreading people out, and that puts tremendous pressure. You're right. But when you get to the red zone, it's a little bit harder to execute down there if that's your base offense, running a spread offense. I think the other thing, and this is part of my thought, I don't know how you measure this, you miss an off season, therefore, you miss all that practice time, obviously. Mm-hmm. You miss in training camp. You've cut a lot of practice time out there. So those two things, I think, have hurt the defense a lot from the point of view of being able to work on execution of fundamentals, schemes, probably maybe a little bit more simplistic, or your execution isn't quite as good. So I think that's hurt the defenses. Now, that's just an editorial opinion. There's no way I can prove that. But it is my feeling. I think that's hurt some of the defensive play in the league.
Have you been amazed, as I have, at least this year, at how many three touchdown leads are just not safe anymore? And I mean, I think most of the time, I think it's been the comebacks have been through bad quarterback play. And we saw one here with the Patriots in Buffalo. Unfortunately, one of Brady's bad games. But Tony Romo, what is going on in this guy's head, Charlie? I don't understand the guy. He is the enigma to me, the biggest enigma of anybody in the NFL.
Well, it is, because actually watching the game for three quarters of the game, or let me say at least the first half and into the third quarter, this guy's playing terrific. I mean, he's making good throws, good decisions, accurate plays, standing in the pocket. And then you get into a situation, and maybe – you know, they said it themselves publicly. Maybe we threw the ball a little bit more than we should have in the second half on certain series. Other series, they ran the ball. But he had three interceptions. The middle one, I don't think it's his fault. It's a slant. I think he holds the ball a little bit and allows the defender to come in. The receiver gets out muscle for the ball. Bad execution on his part, in my opinion, but worst execution by the receiver's part. The first interception he throws, he kind of pinpoints it where he's throwing. The linebacker makes a great drop on the play, and he must win one for the defense. The last one, you're up by 3 points. You get pressured in the pocket, and this is where you just got to have some sense, because the kid's trying to make a play, but that isn't the time to make it. Witten has a man beat down the field, and if he hits him in stride, it's a touchdown. Mm-hmm. However, it's a tough throw to make. You're throwing off your back foot, under pressure, trying to throw a 40, 50-yard pass. He underthrows this interception, and that, you know, eventually leads to the winning touchdown in the game against him. So, you know, he can have some smarter play, at least on one of those throws. You know, one is on the defense, I think, and having great execution on their part, and the other one, I think, is partly on the receiver and him. But overall, you know, you got to manage the game. The last interception bothered me more than any other one.
No, I agree with you. One of the more intriguing matchups, not only for around here in Patriot land, but to me this week is the nightmare team, which is the Philadelphia Eagles, going into Buffalo. And I'm probably going to pick the Eagles in this game, by the way. But my goodness, I mean, this is why I can't stand when players put these stupid little cutesy little labels on teams or open their mouths before the season even starts, because this is what happens. And now Michael Vick comes out today and says, I don't want to talk about the dream team anymore because we're not the dream team. But how do you see that game shaping up on Sunday? I think that is an intriguing matchup in Buffalo with the Bills and the Eagles.
Well, it's a 1 o'clock start. It's a good thing they got lights. That thing may go on all night. Whatever the over and under is, take the over, because there's going to be a lot of points and a lot of yards in that game, because Buffalo can't stop anybody. Philadelphia can stop people at times. Philadelphia's probably biggest problem has been turnovers and injuries to Vic. That's kept them from being 4-0. They do have some defensive issues. Linebacker play has been below average. They're inconsistent playing the run, a lot because of their linebackers. It's interesting in the secondary that the safety position has not played well for them, and that's hurt them. So linebacker and safety play have hurt them. I don't know how much better that's going to get through the season. They've got Nnamdi Asamoah, who is obviously, you know, a terrific corner in the league, but he's a terrific corner playing press. When he's in off coverage, he's not real comfortable. He's not real comfortable in zone. And that showed up in the San Francisco game last week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, thing about Buffalo on offense, I like Fitzpatrick. Of course, you guys have seen him. They spread the ball out well. They have a good plan. Last week, Cincinnati did a good job covering them, manning up on them. And they did a good job shutting down the run game by being physical up front and doing a good job tackling. Philadelphia is a very explosive team offensively, starting with personnel, DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy, two very explosive players. Attorney Macklin's a good player. Brent Celek's a good player. Michael Vick's an explosive player. But even more than that, they try to be explosive. I mean, this is a big play team that takes the ball downfield. They're a very creative team. So they're a hard team to defend. They're going to move the ball on everybody and make big plays. The red zone has been a major problem for them. They don't seem to have that figured out on what the best plan is to attack there. So that's where they end up coming up a little bit short. But to me, this will be a wide open game. Philly's kind of got their back to the wall now. 1-3. They've got a bunch of injuries. You know, at some point there, they have got to cut down those turnovers. And maybe this will be the week they'll do it. But it ought to be an exciting game for the fans.
We're speaking with Charlie Cashley, of course, from NFL on CBS. You see him every week on the NFL Network as well. Let me ask you, staying in the AFC East, and I had said this at the beginning of the season to a Miami writer who was on the show, and I said, you know, I looked at the schedule and I said, I know Sparano's hanging on by a thread anyway, but it said, I think it's very possible that they might start 0-5. I mean, I know they have the bye week this week, I think, right? But, I mean, if he loses one more game, Charlie, is he out?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know the owners made that decision there, but that's personally, I don't believe in changing coaches during the season unless it's a total disaster as far as losing the team. I don't think the owner would have come out with the statement he made and then fire him after one game, the next game. I don't think he'd do that. I talked to somebody involved with the Dolphins, and they didn't think he would do that either. clearly, when he made a decision to pursue Harbaugh last year, that put Sperano in a tough spot going into this year. And you got to believe the owner isn't completely sold on him, or he wouldn't have done that in the first place.
And now that, I mean, they're working out Trent Edwards, Brody Coyle, possibly Jake Delhomme to take over quarterback.
Excuse me. Is there any way you can turn your volume up?
Oh, sure. Yep, sure. Sorry about that.
I'm hearing you.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, and now they're working out Trent Edwards, Brody Coyle, and Jake Delhomme at quarterback, and Henny might be done for the year.
Well, you know, that would be a tremendous blow to him at that point in time. Because, you know, any of those quarterbacks you're talking about there, and of course Matt Moore would play first, you know, they're not going to get you into the playoffs. And the thing about them is that they really need a speed receiver to open up the defense. Marshall is a good player. I know he had some drops and he's struggling a little bit, but he's got a body of work where he's a good player. Bush is a situational back in space. Thomas, the rookie from Kansas State, can give him some inside running ability, but they don't have the one guy that really threatens the deep part of the defense, and they're struggling a little bit on the right tackle position to pass protect. So, you know, all of this is going to be tough on them.
Just a couple more questions. Again, thanks a lot for taking some time out today. Why is Brett Favre continuing to embarrass himself by making these, half-assed statements about Aaron Rodgers? I mean, why doesn't he just say he's playing great and leave it at that? Why does he continue to make headlines?
I don't know. Who knows why there? So, you know, Brett Favre, you're right. If Brett Favre doesn't say another word, his stature only grows and grows. All it is something that it doesn't accomplish anything. He doesn't need to do anything other than, go about his retirement, do what he wants to do, and if he's going to make something, say it positive.
I know this is a trendy question because they started off so well. I actually picked them at the beginning of the season to make the playoffs. So far, so good. Do you think the Detroit Lions are for real?
Well, I'll tell you what, they got to play better than they played last Sunday against Dallas. It wasn't a very good game. They're very fortunate to win. Not only the interception, but, I mean, one of the touchdowns to Calvin Johnson, Stafford throws it into double coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnson comes up with the ball. I mean, you're not going to make a living doing that. Stafford really played poor on Sunday, and I've seen him play a lot better. So they were very fortunate enough to win. I think this much. I think they're good enough to be fighting in December, but they've got some issues. I think that they haven't been able to run the ball consistently. Offensive tackle play has been a little bit inconsistent for them. The cornerback position is a little bit vulnerable. So, you know, they have some things sitting there that they're not a complete team, but I don't know what team is complete. So I think they are a team that will contend at the end, but they got to play a lot better than they played against Dallas. That Dallas should have won the game. Obviously, Dallas is a better team than them, even though they're only 2-2.
Two more questions. One is, we know the surprise in the league. We just talked about one of them. What team so far to you has been the most disappointing in the first quarter of the season? Again, small sampling, but, you know, after four games, what team has been the most disappointing?
Well, I would say the Eagles. Mm-hmm. I felt that it may take them a little time to come around with all the new players they had, the new coaches they had. But I thought that they would, you know, obviously be better than 3-1 at this point in time. So, you know, that's been a disappointment. They're probably the most disappointing team to me at this point.
And finally, the NFL is going to allow fans into Media Day, which I've been to many in my life, lucky enough, and I'm sure you have, and I say go for it. I'd rather have the fans go in than have the media waste their time on that day for the most part. But they're going to charge admission. How do you feel about that charging? They say the prices will be reasonable. I don't know what that means, but how do you feel about the fans being able to attend, or 5,000 of them anyway, Media Day?
Now you're talking about Media Day at the Super Bowl.
At the Super Bowl, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's you've got to manage it. I think that are they going to be able to ask questions, or are they just going to be able to roam around?
Well,
how are they going to do it logistically?
Well, you can say the same thing about some of the media there on Media Day. I mean, a lot of them just roam around, too. And,
well, that's true, too. You know, I've been on both sides of that Media Day. You know, it's hard. You got a lot of people trying to ask questions, and, you know, it's something that you have to do from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a conducive way to get, you know, good information or have a good interview. But, I mean, it's something, if you've never been to it as a fan, it will be exciting and you'll enjoy it and you'll take a lot of pictures, and that part probably will be good.
Charlie, thanks so much. Last thing, how do you, any score for the Patriots and Jet game? You have how you think the game is going to turn, how the game's going to go here?
Well, I think the Patriots are going to win. I think the Patriots will keep their streak alive of 30 points. I think the Jets give them about 14 points in this game. So I think the Patriots should win.
Charlie, thank you so much. Always a pleasure, and hope to talk to you again down the road. Thank you. And
great to be with you now.
Okay, we'll see you.
You know, if we could also mention that people can follow me on Twitter at CastleEastTBS.
Will do, absolutely. Thanks, Charlie. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye now.
See you on Sunday. Bye. That's Charlie Casserly of the NFL on CBS. You know him, and NFL Network does a great job. But he thinks this, Charlie Casserly, thinks the Jets are only going to score 14. I even have the Jets scoring more than that when I give him my score tomorrow. How about that? Great stuff. Great stuff. Anyway, Charlie is very well connected, and we all know his past here with Bill Belichick, which, I'm not going to bring up what happened in 2006 and 2009 because it's irrelevant to what's going on right now. So, I know there are people in this organization that have their feelings about Charlie, and not a lot of good ones in those two instances, and I certainly understand because I was one of them that I didn't appreciate some of the things that he said, but this guy is well connected in the NFL, and I think he's provides a real good analysis, and he does break a lot of stories, no question about it. And we thank him for being part of the Pete Shepherd Show. And of course, you see him every Sunday on NFL Today on CBS and on the NFL Network as well. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. And also you can Facebook me as well. And we're going to have to reset the email board too, Kevin, because it just went down again. But that's okay. We'll get to it. Let me check out some messages on Facebook. So some interesting, thoughtful discourse from Charlie Casserly about several teams. And let's see. On Facebook, Matt says, I'm going to the game this weekend. I think I'm going to get to see Ocho's first touchdown catch. Do you agree? Yes, I do. I do. It's going to be, again, the fascinating thing for this game for me is going to see where Revis, how far he's rotating, who he's rotating from. As Charlie was talking about, you know, Welker goes in motion a lot. Is he going to follow him or what? But the Jets have to come up with something. And to me, they need to come up with something on offense. I don't trust their offense in this game. I think they're in for, Charlie said they only score 14. I'm probably going to give him a few more points than that, but I just think it's about Sanchez. As I've said for a few weeks now, they are not talented enough to overcome mediocre play at quarterback. Very few teams are in this league. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't win. You don't win. And their running game is nowhere near what it was last year. Again, small sampling after 4 weeks, but that's what it is. Matt on Facebook says, read that one. I think Ocho will catch a touchdown. I'm going to predict that. Ocho will catch one touchdown pass this week. Hopefully he catches four. Lucas says, Bruschi said, yeah, you really learned about yourself when you got your butt kicked. Yeah, I think a lot of Patriot players have said that in the past. Back to email on webradiopatriot.com. This is from Brooklyn Matt. Hey, Kevin. I'm listening to Charlie Casserly, and I'm getting shivers and chills down my spine. Dude, give me a heebie-jeebies. Yikes, Kevin. Come on. This is why. I'm not going to read. I can't read that. Come on. Oh, Brooklyn Matt. Doug says, hey, Pete, I'm a Brazilian Pats brand, and your show is awesome. Pats are rolling. No problem on D, but Vince to play safety, as Rex said. They have only some old guys out wide. He would cover them well. Well, let's not go crazy and say no problem on D. Yeah, they have issues on defense. We all know that. I know what they are. You know what they are. The league knows what they are. But the league has issues on defense as a whole. And I'm going to keep saying it until it becomes a fortune cookie or something. Tiffany says, hi, Pete. Very nervous about this game. I'm hoping that Belichick has a rabbit to pull out of his hat on the defensive side. At this time, I have no confidence in our defense, especially the secondary. The Jets have their backs against the wall. I think this is a must-win for the Patriots. We have to win games like this, and our defense has to come up big. Regards, Tiff in Wisconsin. Tiff, young lady, don't worry about it. The defense will be provided by Mark Sanchez at quarterback, who's not playing very well right now. I'm not saying he's not going to put up, you know, some numbers in this game, but let's see how relevant the numbers are when it's all said and done. I'm stunned that Charlie just picked the Jets to only score 14 points. So he's basically picked the Patriots 30-14. You know, and interesting. It's interesting. See if he comes up with that on Sunday as well. Again, email me, webradio@patriot.com, webradio@patriot.com. Let's take a break and reset. When we come back, I'm going to let you hear from Tom Brady today in case you missed it. And you guys tell me what kind of a mood you think he's in. And when you know, probably most of you know about the Cromartie question for now. Forget all that stuff. I mean, you'll hear that at the end. But, you know, really give it a listen when we come back and tell me what you think Tom's mood is. We're back on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriot.com right after this.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Bats interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet, anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening a seamstress.
Oh, that tie back is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health. Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriot Safety and UMass alum James E. Hedibo. Join me and follow UMass fans as we head to Gillette Stadium on October 22nd when the Minutemen of UMass battle the Wildcats of UNH and the Colonial Clash. Tickets start at just $25 a piece and are on sale at Ticketmaster.com.
I think I forgot, did you? Everybody!
I am the chase. There ain't no chase. We ain't no chase.
Completely sophomoric and moronic by my part and all that stuff, immature and stuff that media people don't do. But actually, ask me if I give a crap. I hate the Jets. And if I thought they had a reasonable shot at winning this game, I would tell you. I really would. You know, if I thought it was going to be a close game, I would tell you. Believe me. But this ain't going to be, this is not going to be close in the end. It's a bad matchup all the way around, in my opinion, for the Jets. All the way around. Santonio Holmes apparently has tweeted, and Tiffany sends this. Holmes on Pat's D. Quote, I think the numbers speak for themselves on how well those guys are not playing on their defense. Bulletin board material, regards Tiff in Wisconsin. Of course it's bulletin board material. It's just stupid. But here's what I'd like to know. And you know, this is what I'm talking about. So Santonio Holmes is beating up on the Patriots defense, but the Jets have allowed just three fewer points the entire year and have a worse record. So buddy, hey, do yourself a favor, Santonio Holmes. Worry about your own team. Everything else will take care of itself. You fall into that net yardage trap too. Go ahead. See what happens on Sunday. Keep it up. Keep tweeting. Keep it going. Know it makes you feel good, some of you guys, doing that stuff on the other team. Keep doing it. See what happens. Talk to Blackman from the Raiders. See how he's feeling this week about his finesse comments. Real quick with Gene and Daytona, then we'll get you Tom Brady. Hi, Pete and Kevin. We all know about Tony Romo giving a gift to the Jets, but also Jack Del Rio should get credit for another gift to the Jets. When Del Rio chose to release Garrard rather than pay him and chose to start Luke McCown over Blaine Gabbert after Gabbert had a better preseason, everyone was surprised. Against the Jets, McCown could not complete a pass, so they tried to run the ball with Maurice Jones-Drew, but the Jets loaded the box. Del Rio, late in the game, decided to put in Gabbert, and he started moving the ball in the air and on the ground with Jones-Drew and forcing the Jets to play honest, but it was too late. Gabbert had been starting since. I heard Rex ask, how is the guy singing in the background in that song?
Excuse me, ma'am. Can I help you with anything?
God, it's so gross. But, yeah, I mean, that's why if you look back and I saw a lot of the Jet-Jaguar game, that game was actually pretty close for a while. It was just the Jets, Luke McCown was just awful. That game was handed to the Jets. I know it ended up being 32-3 at the end. All right, let's hear it from Tom Brady early today. Only a few times since he's been here have I seen him not upset, but just absolutely, completely, no messing around, business, business, business. Here's Tom.
Morning. Small crowd, I like it.
What's the start? Can we turn this microphone down? If possible? Thank you. That was a long time ago, so that game doesn't have much bearing on this week. And we're a different team.
How about the fact that, what do you expect from them coming off a loss? You know, talking about being hungry and going back to the ground and pound, but kind of, it would be a great atmosphere, but what do you expect from the Jets on Sunday afternoon?
Pretty much what we get from every time we play them. They're a tough team. They're physical. I think they lead the league in a bunch of defensive categories. So they're very challenging to play. They have been since, it's always the Jets. Since I got here 12 years ago, they're challenging. So it's a fun game to be a part of. I hope we can go out there and play better than last time we played them.
You don't want to say anything to get the home crowd fired up, do you?
I'm not joking anymore this year.
How do you feel about what Antonio Cromartie said about you last January, or said he hates you, and told you a name I can't repeat here?
I don't care what he says about me. I really don't.
What's your opinion of him as a player?
He's very good. Excellent player. They have two very good corners. They got a bunch of good corners, actually. The two that are out there in their regular defense are very good. They're both fast, both physical. They're both, they play well at the line of scrimmage. They're very disruptive. They lead the league in pass defense, so kind of tells you everything you want to know about them.
Does their defense look any different, Tom, from the one you saw in the playoffs as to what you've seen so far this year?
They're good. They were good last year. They're good this year. They were good 2 years ago. I think as long as Rex is coaching that team, they're going to have a good defense. They've got a lot of good defensive players. David Harris and Bart, good front corners you can cover. Safeties Leonard and Smith and Brodney Poole have given us problems, so it's a good team.
Tom, how much do you have to adjust to who Revis winds up covering?
We kind of just call our plays, and whoever he lines up on, he lines up on. I don't think we're if the guy gets open, he gets the ball, as we've shown. If he doesn't, then somebody else gets the ball.
I know you know the Jets very, very well, but in preparing for this year, how much stock do you put in what they've done before last Sunday against the Ravens versus what happened to them against the Ravens?
Well, they still played pretty well defensively. I don't think Flacco threw for 50%. Ravens had a bunch of scores, defensive scores, but that doesn't really affect me at all. So we're preparing for a very good defense, tough physical style. That's good in pass coverage. They lead the league in first down defense. They lead the league in third down defense. And they're one of the best that we play all year.
Last week they used a running back, Joe McKnight, coming off the corner to blitz Flacco one time. What would you do if you saw something like that? And do you think it shows that they're worried about their speed?
I don't know why they substitute different guys in. They have a bunch of different personnel packages. We've had a bunch of players here that go both ways. If you're on the roster, then you could be out there at any point. So you treat him like another defensive back when he's out there. That's kind of how they're playing him. And, hopefully we can block him.
Tom, I know this is obviously off to an unbelievable start, 40 catches in the first four games. Can this offense, as productive as he's been, can you become too reliant on one guy? And do you need to, or would like to, as the season progresses, be a little more diverse and not have him be the primary target on almost every play?
Well, you throw the open guy. So if he's open, he'll get it. If he's not, someone else will get it. I think that he's done a good job getting open.
Tom, Cromartie criticized you because he says that you have tendency to have antics, he called them, and felt like you do a lot to taunt the other team after touchdowns and things like that. Do you feel like you do that? Do you feel like that was an unfair criticism, or do you not know where he's coming from with those comments?
I really don't care what he says. Thanks, guys.
Exit stage left. Nice try, though, whoever that was from the New York media, I believe. It was a New York media person trying to get Tom, trying to bait him into saying something negative against the Jets. But he's much too smart for that. He will let his play, as usual, do the talking on the field. And it is my opinion that when the game is over, once again, you will see the Patriots have another double-digit win against this team at this particular time this year. For all the reasons I've stated previously, a lot of different ones. And I am not interested in what happened last year, I agree. But I can tell you this, the one thing where I think the Patriots are all full of crap is when they say that that playoff loss didn't matter. You damn well better believe it mattered. And it matters most, it may matter more than anybody, number 12. I think he was embarrassed by that performance in the second half of last year. So, usually, he comes back with a vengeance, and I just think it's a bad spot for the Jets this week. Third straight game on the road against a ticked-off Patriots team that's, you know. And don't tell me that film hasn't been shown this week somewhere along the way, or parts of that game, because I'm sure they did use it to study. Because Bill's told me in the pen many times, they use preseason stuff. If they play a team in preseason, they're playing that team in the regular season, they'll use that. And they'll go back a couple of years, too. So I guarantee you they've seen a lot of that playoff loss from last year, everybody in that locker room, at some point to see, make sure they learn from it. But I don't think the Jets are going to be ready for the balanced attack the Patriots are about to throw at them, because against this particular team on Sunday, I think you're going to see it, you know, again, pretty close to what you saw against the Raiders. Maybe 30 pass attempts, maybe 30 rushing attempts. And I think that's really, I mean, if the Patriots start to run the ball anywhere close to what they did last week, then this one could get real ugly. Really could. And I am not so, I'm just not convinced the Jets are going to be able to run the ball effectively. They haven't been able to run the ball effectively against anybody. Their offense has been okay at best. And their defense has been okay. Like I said, they've given up three fewer points than the Patriots. Three. That's it. So for everybody, you know, cussing out, and I just don't understand why in all these talk shows and television shows at night, everything is like this one, like, microscope with the Patriots defense. Why, and as I said, I brought up the numbers before. Green Bay, 97 points. New Orleans, 98 points. Buffalo, 96 points. Jets, 95 points. Chicago, 98 points. All these teams right around the same amount of points the Patriots have given up, and no one's talking about it. For the most part, why the offenses right now, and it's probably going to be the way for most of the year, are superior. And enough with the elements and all that garbage, because that doesn't work for the Patriots either, because they have put up tons of points before in bad weather. It really doesn't apply to them. The only time it would ever apply is in really, really ridiculous windy situations, not snow or rain, because I've seen them put up numbers with snow and rain. You have too. Unless it's incredibly windy. That's the only time that weather's going to affect this team. They love the bad weather. Their record in snow is ridiculous. We all know that, whatever it is. 13-0, whatever it is. And they usually handle the elements very, very well. I just think Mark Sanchez is going to be way over his head in this game. And talk about all you want about the Patriots secondary, all that stuff. He'll get a few yards, but I want to see the significant yardage that he puts up. And I do think it's going to be much more of a ball control type offense for the Patriots. You're going to see a well-balanced attack here. Much of what you saw last week. And I just don't think the Jets have they don't have it on defense to stop the Patriots overall. They just don't. They can't cover everybody. This is a very unique team. Patriots and Packers and to some extent the Saints are very unique teams. When all healthy, they're very, very difficult to stop. The Jets don't have that kind of offense. You know, certainly, I mean, if you're the Patriots, you're not going to be overly worried about their running game so far. You know, you're going to be worried about Santonio Holmes. You're going to be worried about, you know, Keller. Those are the two I worry about the most, those two guys. Plaxico to some extent, obviously. But I just look at everything. I take into consideration all the facts and what I've seen. You know, how these teams have played, who they played, where they played. And I don't see how the Jets are going to, I mean, they may hang around for a quarter and a half or so, but in the end, I just see a very comfortable Patriot win. Not 45-3, but I think it's going to be a comfortable Patriot win. And stand by it. I told you last week, after watching the Raiders are not that good. I don't think Buffalo is that good. I think Charlie's right. I mean, that game in Buffalo and Philly this week, whatever the total is, go over. Because that could be 60-56, that game. I mean, the Eagles have to win that game. They have to win that game. But we'll see. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That is the number. Of course, you can Facebook me as well on Pete Shepard on PETESHEPPARD. Also, Plaxico Burress has chimed in as well. Just not, actually, not bad. He said, I expect to be booed. He also says that expect to be booed by the fans. It's going to be fun. It's a good test for us where we are mentally. We have to come out and play hard and try to get a win. This is a stadium where they don't give up a lot of wins too often in the regular season. And we know, he also says, quote, we know we're playing arguably the best team in football right now, so we've got to come out ready to play. That's Plaxico Burress. As I said, Santonio Holmes already tweeted something nasty about the Patriots defense. That'll definitely go up on the bulletin board, so I'm sure there'll be more. Gene says, hi, Pete and Kevin. I think Tom's pissed. And I think you're right. I think you're right. Well, Pete, I believe are only talking about Pat's D because it's never been this bad under Belichick and Brady. Yeah, again, it's a very small sampling in Week 4. But as I've said, Manny, before, why to talk about the Pats defense, they've given up 98 points, okay? New Orleans has given up 98 points. Green Bay has given up 97 points. Buffalo, 96. The Jets have given up 3 points less. So all those numbers and that somebody was reading off and some of the third down numbers and all that pass defense that Brady was just talking about, they've still only given up 3 points less than the Patriots. That's all I care about. I don't give a damn about net yardage numbers, a lot of it. Is it frustrating at times to watch? Absolutely. We know that. Last drive the Raiders had was disgusting. You know, and I guarantee you that's the thing that I bet you Bill hopped on that more than anything this week was that particular series at the end of the game. Because for the most part, they played very well. They did a great job of stopping McFadden. Despite his per average number, the bigger average was 13 for 34, 2.6 or 2.7 yards a game, a carry, as opposed to the one he got for 41. I think that's pretty impressive. Nobody's talking about it, though. Nobody. But not totally unexpected. Not totally unexpected. Kevin, anything else from the locker room we have that people might be interested in that we haven't heard yet? Not Bill and not...
You can listen to Plaxico a little if you want.
Oh, that's yeah, let's listen to Plaxico. Yeah, why not? Patriots held wide receiver Plaxico Burress earlier.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, it's just one of those things where it's just constant work. You know, a lot of the looks that, you know, we get in the game, we don't get in practice, and you just got to read and react. And, you know, you don't have time to really, you know, you don't have the opportunity to go over certain looks. You know, when you get out there on Sunday, it may be, you know, you may see it one time, and you got to go out there and make a play into it. And, you know, versus, you know, making the throws off of the leverage of the defensive back, you know, what angle you're breaking on, or the safety, and different things like that. So, you know, I'm just trying to be consistent, you know, with the looks that I give him, and let him, you know, just really, you know, emphasize where I'm going to be at on certain routes, different things like that. But it's definitely a work in progress. It's something that, you know, it doesn't come overnight. You know, we're working on it every day.
Plaxico, how would you rate your Super Bowl catch as far as moments in your career?
Well, it's definitely your best. I mean, you know, coming into this business, you know, it's something that you dream of. You know, playing a wide receiver position, you know, being able to let alone playing a Super Bowl, but to win it in the fashion that I did. You know, it's something that you dream of as a child, and to do it against, you know, a team that was probably, you know, the best. in history offensively. You know what they had accomplished, and you know how big that game was. You know, it's just something that, you know, it'll always be a part of me. And you know, it was a defining moment for a lot of guys in our careers. And you know, it was a beautiful moment.
You've had a lot of time to think in some, you know, probably not so fun places over the last couple of years. I'm wondering, is that something that you thought of? You thought back at?
Look back at what?
You know, that catch when you were, you know, in prison and going through some stuff that was probably not that good?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just a part of who I am. You know, playing in that Super Bowl and, you know, making that catch in the fashion that we did. You know, driving down the field in 2 minutes. You know, making that play, you know, on that stage. And, you know, it's just a part of, you know, it's a part of me, it's a part of history, and to me, it was the greatest Super Bowl I ever played. And like I say, man, it was just a moment that, you know, every kid dreams of having, and, you know, to be able to go out and execute it and do it, you know, in the fashion that we did it against the team that we were playing against, it just says a lot.
Does preparing for the Patriots this week bring back those memories?
No, not really. You know, there's a, you know, different team, you know, different defense. You know, some of these guys that are in the back end, I haven't even played against any of them. So, you know, I'm going to have to do a lot of things, you know, as far as watching tape, you know, and different things that they do. And, you know, I haven't played up there in, you know, almost 10 years in Gillette Stadium. So, you know, it's going to be good to, you know, get back. And I expect to get booed, you know, by the fans. And different things like that, but it's gonna be fun. You know, I think that, you know, for our football team, it's a good test for us. You know, where we're at mentally. You know, come out and play hard and try to get a win.
Let's go.
Where they don't give up wins too often during the regular season.
Let's go. Do you see potential for big plays against this Patriot defense, given the fact that they've given up a few in the first 4 weeks?
Yeah, you know, it's been a lot of big plays that they've given up, you know, just from a little bit of film that I've watched. You know, hopefully, you know, we can go out and execute. You know, we're going to have to do a good job of, you know, protecting. They got some elite players up front with, you know, Vince, and, you know, Albert, and Andre Carter. So, you know, we're going to have to block those guys up. You know, it's not going to be an easy task. And, you know, they're going to play some one-on-one matchups and, you know, zones. We're going to have to read it out and make plays, you know, into the defense.
Rex Ryan called that loss to Baltimore miserable and horrible. Do you look at that as basically just an aberration and kind of throw that out the window because that's not who the Jets really are?
I mean, you know, if you haven't, you know, played in a game like that in your career, as far as being on the back end of losing a game, you know, in that kind of fashion, just, you know, you don't know what this league is all about. Like I said, man, it was. You know, nobody wants to get beat like that or lose, you know, in that fashion the way that we did. But, you know, like I said, man, it got our attention. And, you know, it was something that we needed. And, you know, we're going to use that, you know, as a motivation to move forward. You know, remember the taste in our mouths after that game, how we felt, and, you know, how poorly we played. And, you know, come out, be sharp, you know, focus on, you know, every little detail that needs to be done so we can go out and have success against a, you know, a damn good football team. So, you know, we know that we're playing, you know, arguably the best team in football right now. We gotta come out ready to play.
Rex Ryan has made a lot, or put a lot of attention toward beating the Patriots in the last 2.5 years. Have you noticed anything different about this week of work, showing up and preparing for the Patriots? Is there a heightened sense of urgency?
I don't want to say it's an urgency. You know, we just, you know, I expect my boys to come in exactly the way that I expected them to today. You know, being that the way that we played this Sunday, you know, coming in focused, you know, everybody paying attention to the focus details, and, you know, just concentrating on, you know, getting better, you know, individually at every position. It's not really so much more about the Patriots this week. You know, it's more about us, you know, being what we're supposed to be, you know, making the right calls, communicating, you know, trusting and just going on the plane.
All right, Jets wide receiver Plaxico Burress and Ian Rappaport of the Herald. Plaxico, as you're lying in your prison cell late at night in deep thought, knowing that you have no immediate future in your life, do you often think about going past Ellis Hobbs as he was falling down? Absolutely brilliant. Oh, you know, there's give Plaxico credit. You know this. There's a lot of people, a lot of NFL players
have snapped, right?
Would have snapped him in half right on the spot for that question. I got to give him a little bit of credit there for the way he handled an interesting phrase. Did you often think about that when you were in jail?
He should have just been like, you know what, Ian? I really don't like to think back upon my years in jail, so I can't really tell you what I was thinking.
Oh, my God. What a smack in the face. Anyway, we're just wrapping things up here. Chad says, I'm not surprised about Tom with stoic and firm and all that. On the other hand, I'd be surprised if he shouts eating a bunch of bleeping cheeseburgers. It's a good sign that reveals you how focused and serious these guys are, looking forward to the jokes.
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers?
That's right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Pete Shepherd Show. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have a guest or two, I'm sure. Hopefully somebody from the New York / New Jersey area, and get their thoughts on the big game coming up Sunday at 4:15, Patriots hosting the New York Jets right here at Gillette. Thanks to Kevin Collins for producing this whole thing. Thanks to our special guest, Charlie Casserly of NFL Today on CBS and NFL Network. Make sure you follow Charlie on Twitter, right? He's got some interesting tweets. He really does. He's one of the best in the business at breaking stories. Anyway, back tomorrow at 4 p.m. Thanks to everybody who emailed and called in as well. This is Pete Shepherd. I will talk to you guys tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Oh, real quick, Kev, if you don't mind. Real quick, once again, tonight, charity poker coming up in Dedham, right near Legacy Place. It's the Wednesday, a weekly deep stack again. 7:15 for $100. You get $20K in chips. First 20 players that play a satellite for free. It's at the American Legion, Post 18, 155 Eastern Avenue in Dedham, right behind the Tahiti restaurant across from the BFW. Hope to see you guys there, okay? Check it out. My friend Craig Bradford in Helping Hands does a great job of providing a very professional environment. All right, talk to you tomorrow at 4, kids. Bye-bye. Stand up and get that tail for what you are about to receive.